Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. We have a couple of neighbours down here, a lot of them Pacific Islands, and one of them, a gargantuan island that can scarcely be called an island. It's like a continent in and of itself. And incidentally, populated by one of the most ancient cultures in the world. But conveniently, it was exterminated by all the colonists. So now it's mostly just beer-drinking individuals there. It's Australia! And today, I was hoping to have two people on at the same time. We're still having trouble connecting our second guest, but we have... the very busy and having to run out very soon, Max Egan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Vinny. You always get me in these tight spots at short notice, but here I am.
Yep, I learned a trick or two I learned from the New World Order. I was also wanting to get your comments on this recent Chappelle Corby movie called Expendable. And it seems as though... not only has Chappelle Corby become a political sacrifice for the expediency of the Australian government and its relations with Indonesia, but also I don't think that's an isolated incident.
No, well, it's not. I mean, there's the Bali Nine as well. There's every indication that that was a government sting as well. Very, very hard to confirm that, but I have my suspicions about that case. But the film that's just come out about Chappelle Corby is really a must-see for everybody because... You can see very clearly within the structure of the film the collusion that happens between the government, the police force and the media, and how they mold public opinion and how they basically use this woman as a sacrificial lamb. And this could be anybody. This could be you, could be me, it could be a tourist passing through the country. Anybody at all could be in the position that Chappelle Corby's in. And... the film, it's quite a low production. It's just a cheap film that people have put out there. So if people, when you do go and watch it, don't be too concerned about the production. Have a listen to the information that it provides for you because it's very important. And I think it's a gift because it exposes the collusion that exists within all of our governments. And I mean, all Western governments are run like this. It isn't just localized to Australia. I guarantee any government that's got a controlled media or a concentrated ownership of media... is the country is run like this. It's just the same everywhere. So this exposes it. And this is a wonderful tool that the people could use to just lay the workings of the mechanism bare. And it's a great case. It's a gift that it's a Chappelle Corby because everybody knows the name Chappelle Corby. It's a globally, most people even know her name, but especially everybody in Australia knows her name because it's a very, very well-known case. And so this can be used to kind of expose and blow the lid off government. And hopefully we can bring about some serious change.
Well, you know, I have quite a difficulty when you have a look at cases sometimes to see whether or not the evidence is conclusive. What I found was different about Expendable is that within the first, what, 2-3 minutes, it's like, oh my God, she's so obviously innocent. The evidence is so stark, so blatant that even a rudimentary analysis can reveal this. And so what it does is it implicates everybody who said that she was guilty. Everybody, whether that be the comedians making fun of her, ABC News doing several hit pieces on her, the judges, the lawyers, every single person involved in this case from start to finish, the baggage handlers, the what have you, they're all obviously the most criminal, diabolical, or Even worse. No. I don't think there's any worse. Just complete morons. And they're the people that are in charge of the country. You know, the Prime Minister, the Minister of Defence, the High Commissioners, and what have you. You know, oh, nobody understands any real facts or evidence on the Chappelle Corley case. But we have Santos Bonacci here. Finally, Santos, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you, Vinny?
Really good, man. We're just discussing the old Chappelle Corby case in this Expendable video. What's your views on it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of shonky stuff going on there, and it's pretty clear to see that the governments are there, and they've actually attracted some shonksters and some rogues into government for the last 40 or 50 years, really. Since the banks are paying them in the back pocket really, really well, like Julia Gillard, etc., John Howard, they know, these guys know exactly what the situation is, and they know that Chappelle Corby's innocent, but they're happy to let her go, let her suffer in hell, so that they can keep their little businesses going. Everybody's just interested in money, their back pocket.
Yeah. And as Australians, you know, who love your country or whatever, how does that make you feel?
I'm ropeable. That's why I do what I do. I'm getting the truth out there as much as possible. Max is doing his bit. Hello. Hi, Max. You know, we are just looking for truth and peace, and we just hope that you know, one day things will normalize, but it's a really sad situation. Australians need to open their eyes really quick, really, really quick, because these guys, they are dangerous, man. They are mafiosos. They're killers. People in government are killers. That's how they get there. They've got the killing instincts. The banks will look after them and give them the positions. They get into positions, strategic positions, by virtue of the banks. The banks want their money. The Vatican needs its money to keep funding all the crime in the world. And this is what's going on. And people like Chappelle Corby, they're just little victims that get pushed up. You know, like when your bulldozer's, you know, going down the road, all the animals that come in its path get squashed. And that's what Chappelle Corby is, unfortunately.
Max?
Yeah, well, that's exactly what's going on. I think it's an incredibly important case. I was absolutely outraged when I saw the film. I mean, we all know the government's corrupt. We all know the police force is corrupt. We all know that there's collusion between the governments and the media. But to see it all laid bare like that, And you see Chappelle Corby in the video, and the body language alone. I mean, the body language alone tells you this woman's innocent. When she's actually convicted, she starts hyperventilating. I mean, that's hell acting if she's just acting what she went through there. Most people, if you look at their body language, when they're found guilty, they'll kind of slump their shoulders and they'll resign themselves to the fact that they're going to jail because they know they've been caught out. But Michelle Corby, her body went into a meltdown when she got found guilty. And you can see when they're leading her out to the jail, she's virtually already fainted while she's walking. She's not in this world anymore. Her body and her mind went into complete meltdown. You can't act that.
She was in shock.
Absolutely, absolutely. She went straight into shock. I mean, she was completely innocent. The mere concept that she could have smuggled that amount of pot through Brisbane Domestic Airport, through Sydney Domestic Airport, and through Sydney International Airport, past sniffer dogs, CCTV cameras, armed guards, you know, body scans, I mean, you know, searches, baggage handlers. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. Sitting
Not
in a boogie board bag like that, this big, huge 4 kilos of pot in a boogie board bag. I mean, it wasn't even hidden. You open the boogie board bag and there's this huge plastic bag full of pot that was actually open so you could smell it.
Yeah. And what kind of $40,000 drug dealer shoves all that amount of pot into a boogie board bag? It doesn't make any sense.
What sort of person shoves that sort of pot into a boogie board bag and takes it to a country knowing that they have the death penalty if you're caught for smuggling drugs?
And knowing that it's like an eighth of the price and you're going to lose money by doing it.
Yeah, that's a great. That's what we can do for the weekend, Vinny. Let's lose $35,000 and to smuggle a drug into a country where they get the death penalty. It'll be a rage. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? Where do I sign up?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've got my glow sticks packed. We're going.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. It's completely absurd. And when you see the effort and the collusion and the, you know, the sheer energy, the government and the media and the Australian Federal Police went into not only withholding information, but ensuring that this woman was convicted by making political statements at the correct times and all the things that they did. I mean, I don't have to implicate the government or the police force because they've implicated themselves by their actions. And that's just the product of thinking at this with a working brain. I mean, it's so blatantly obvious that the people need to look at it. And I think this is a great gift because not only with this film can we get Chappelle Corby free, but we can also point the finger at these people and start getting something really actually lawful back in this country. Instead of having a group of politicians that are owned by mining magnates and banking corporations that are destroying this country, using, you know, turning our police force into thugs. If you really look at our police, they've just turned into thugs in the last 20 years. They're not the old friendly police officer anymore. These are very, very violent and very nasty people, a lot of our police. I mean, sure, there's good cops out there, but there's still a lot of very, very nasty individuals who will beat you to a pulp as quick as look at you. And this is not what we want from our police. And in New South Wales now, they're going to be putting police on trams just to protect you. There's going to be police everywhere you go, police travelling on public transport. This is the Gestapo, folks. We're getting the Gestapo on our streets in order to protect us from ourselves. I mean, it's a complete joke. People need to look at what's going on. They've opened New South Wales up for uranium mining now as well. So they're fracking it and they're going to put more uranium mining in there. And it's just Australia is being turned into a mine. It's a huge desert. This country is a huge desert. There's not much arable land. All we've got is little bits around the edges, mainly around the east coast. And this is all being turned into mines. We're not going to have anywhere to grow food. Our groundwater is going to be polluted by these politicians who say they're doing it to protect the economy. And they're turning the place into a mine. They're making it very, very difficult for all the Australian people. So they're escalating the police force in order to keep people in line while they do it. Because this is their plan. It's full speed ahead. Damn the people. Let's just mine this country.
Yeah, the fracking mentality is, I'll be starving to death because I won't have any food. I'll be dying of thirst because I won't have any clean water. And I won't be able to breathe because the air will be polluted. But man, I'll be rich.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, but you won't have anything to spend it on. But look, I'm going to have to go, guys. Pleasure to talk, to be on the show with you, Santos. I'm actually going to get you on the show with me this week. So we'll be having another chat later on. But I've got to run. I've done a breakfast show in Sydney this morning, and I've got to go in and do a two-hour show at the local station now, and then I'll be speaking to Santos this afternoon, and so it's a busy day for me, but I really must rush, guys.
Busy as a conspiracy theorist. On your way, Max.
See you, mate.
Thanks very much for coming on.
My pleasure.
All right. Yep, yep. Well, you know, there's the real problem is that we're in the southern hemisphere. There's very little, by comparison to the northern hemisphere, alternative media to actually expose this kind of scumbaggery.
Yeah, yeah. This is the thing. Everyone's busy. They've got this. Man, this country is stacked up with things like we've got all the football codes, soccer's strong, rugby's strong, Australian rules, football, cricket, of course, we are the second cricket nation in the world. You know, we make sure that we remind each other of that when we go to the pub. Oh, yes, we Aussies, we, you know, have matches, you know, and of course, you know, so half of the unconscious buffoons who, you know, have got plenty of cash in their back pockets for now, so they're pretty happy. They've got bread. They've got circuses. You know, they don't see that Australia's going to hell in a handbasket, and they're just quite happy to just, you know, eat McDonald's and stuff themselves with corporate food just to keep the corporations even stronger. They don't even consider anymore going to, you know, I've seen McDonald's, and next door you'll have a privately owned, you know, burger place, and no one goes there. You know, beautiful salad sandwiches and all this. They head straight for McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, get that DNA altering chemicals into you. That'll be nice. You can get fat and obese. And this is what Australians are all about. Well, good luck to them. When the proverbial poo starts starts to hit, people will not have anything to stand on, man. If you stand, if you don't stand for anything, you stand for nothing.
Well, you know, this is how Australia works as far as I know. My brother's been to Australia, lived there for a number of times. The women are very easy. The men are very are just basically drop kicks. There's an overabundance of alcohol and V8 Holdens and Fords, and everybody's a sport crackhead. You know, that's basically what their assessment was of the country. It may be very unfair. I'm acting under the assumption that that's just, you know, kind of the glossy veneer that we all know and love. And beneath it, there's a lot of really good, decent people who are often very caring, very good parents, and honest and hardworking, etc. That kind of thing. People like yourself, Sandra.
Yeah, but, you know, unconsciousness is the order of the day. People are tapped into it. They love it. They love the smell of it. They love the security at the airports, and they don't give a hoot about freedom or liberty. They don't understand these notions like animals. You know, they're quite content to be in a cage. After a while, your dog, when you tie him up, he starts sniffing around and finding stuff to do. He doesn't care about liberty anymore. He's on a leash, you know. People in the world like that, as long as they've got cinema and, you know, bread and circus, basically, and they're sniffing around and they're pretty happy. They don't reach out for higher things. They don't see these things.
Well, you know, it's hard to see things when you've got your beer goggles on, I must say. And whether it be capitalism, fascism or socialism, the political practice that Australians practice best is alcoholism. Thank you, Santos. And you're on your way too. So get on out of here and go and expose some scumbaggery. We'll be right back, folks.
The world you knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with God. Our needs are now different and our aims. The conditions which framed and taught us our status have gone with God.
It's Daft on the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from that fabulous fluoridated capital of Auckland. Oh yeah, I love being a talk radio show host. And primarily it's actually because I get to talk to the listeners. And there's something George Norrie taught me when I had him on the show. You can go to the featured interviews page of the vinnyeastwoodshow.com if you want to listen to that bloody good interview. I learned a lot about him and a lot about myself. He said that basically the thing that you really got to do, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, no matter how tired you are, no matter how irritable you are or whatever, doesn't matter what your excuses are, you have to talk to the people all the time. Okay. It's the only way you keep your feet on the ground and stop getting too full of yourself. Because my contention that if once you get too full of yourself, you get far too far ahead of yourself. You know, listening to Michael Laws this morning, and it's just like, this is funny, though. You might appreciate this. And for those who want to call in, the phone lines are now open. The caller line is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You want to call in, I'll take your calls. What was he saying? Oh, yeah. You know how they got this thing called Earth Hour? You know, turn off every single appliance, turn off your oven, your lights, your electric dildos, everything. And in order to save the planet, right? We're only going to care about the planet for this 1 hour, and that's going to be tokenistic and save the whole show, right? Right? And he said, well, you know, if the environment, I'm going to have an anti-Earth Hour – where I'm going to encourage people to turn on every single electrical appliance. I want them to turn on the toasters. I want them to turn on the jug, the TV, the oven, the everything. Okay, turn it all on. Just burn it, baby. Burn it down. You know, that kind of stuff. I thought that was pretty amusing. He said, but then he said something very interesting, and I'm not sure what my opinion on this is yet, because it's just kind of like, whew, so shocking. He says, if the environmentalists really cared about the environment, they'd go shoot a cat. Right? And I can see the point in that. Really? Do you have any idea how many gorgeous native New Zealand birds get annihilated by wild cats every year? It's quite substantial. But of course, environmental issues such as fracking are not caused by cats. They may be caused by pussies, but not cats, I can assure you. These are people who are very, very scary, angry, type of crazy psychopathic individuals. And speaking of psychopathic individuals, there's a new strain of psychopath, a virulent strain, if you will, called the corporate psychopath. They did a study, I think it was like 201 or something around those lines. I was just watching it on YouTube. One of my listeners, Barry, sent me this documentary called Fishhead, I think. And it's about psychopaths, corporate psychopaths. Incredibly well done film. Haven't quite finished watching it yet, but we'll do after the show. Anyway, what they did is they surveyed these top 100 company, you know, the people who they thought were going to be coming into the leadership roles of this country, you know, those who showed real promise, real gifts for the gab, the real risk taker mentality that you need in those high up positions. Now, the psychopath score is about 30 out of 100. Okay. They do these questionnaires. If you get 30 out of 100, it's like, yeah, you're a psychopath. Pretty obvious. And what they found was that many, many of these people, like a very substantial proportion, normally it'd only be 1% of people that would get a 30 or anywhere near that. What they found was it's more like 25% of these people in these top positions are getting around 20 plus, between the 20 and 30 range. Now, also they explore in the film how psychopaths learn how others think, and they learn how to mimic emotions and things of that nature, so that people won't suddenly, you know, point them out. It's like, why don't you have a proper facial expression that goes with the emotion you're supposed to be feeling? Are you a psycho? You know, that kind of thing. They learn to fake that stuff well early on in the piece, all right? They just look at people who have real emotions, go home to the mirror and practice them so that they can figure out how to manipulate people into thinking that they're just a normal person like them. These people are infiltrators, predators, ambush predators, even if you will. They fit in with their environment. They lay a trap. They set other people up, and then they pounce and they get their nice, yummy, yummy meal of your soul and your money and what have you. Now, this isn't to say that psychopaths are a new phenomenon. They've been around since, well, since time began, allegedly. There'd be certain people who simply don't have the part of the brain working that says, that actually gives me an emotional response when I see that happen. I have empathy. Those people don't have it, okay? The part of the brain that lights up on normal people when you have emotional responses, etc., to do with empathy or anything good in this world, basically, those are the kinds of people who just don't have anything, right? Now, they've been around for a long time, as I said. Now, get this. How different is the corporate world and the trading world today to the way it was back then? First of all, back in the day, there was a thing called a handshake. There was a thing called eye-to-eye contact. There was a thing called being in person and doing your business with other people. A lot of business that is done today involves none of those. okay? Stock trader on Wall Street, never sees anybody, never talks to nobody. He's making decisions based upon, at most a phone call or whatever, but he's not talking about somebody who's down on their luck or needing of help or anything like that. He didn't give a frack, right? He's just went out there for himself. And what happens with these people is they wind up getting their way up the ladder fairly well. And not to mention, and I think this dovetails with the founding primarch of the Rockefeller family, Big Bill Rockefeller. He was a snake oil salesman, traveling snake oil salesman. I'm not joking, by the way. Look it up. The founding primarch and the source of the old money for the Rockefeller family was not oil. It was snake oil, interestingly enough. How did he manage to accumulate such a huge amount of money from just a scam? Well, what he did is he got other people to scam for him. He was basically like one of the first franchises ever known to man. He got whole copious quantities of snake oil salesmen to go around, scam whole sections of states at a time, and then he'd take the cut off of all of these other psychos that he'd manipulated into serving his interests. Then he put his money into oil. Then he bought out all the barrels of oil so that other competing oil companies would not be able to barrel their oil. So they all went out of business, and he bought them up for pennies on the dollar, and he became a billionaire, one of the United States' first billionaires. And transport that to today's wealth, okay? We're talking about, at the time, having $40, $50 billion or something of that nature. Rothschilds at a similar time calculated and advanced today. At that time, way back in the day, late 1800s, early 1900s, they were estimated value in the trillions. Okay? These people have figured out a way, through not having a conscience, of scamming everybody and usurping all their wealth. How is the game of Monopoly played? You start off equal and one person ends up on top and everybody else is broke as mofos. Huh? Why do you think they put that stuff out there? It's not because it's just a fun game to play. It's because it's the way the world has worked for so long. Now, because people are capable of trading, and just like Big Bill Rockefeller, instead of just scamming one person or one town by himself, you can now, through the aid of corporate banking and various other institutional machines of scumbaggery, scam copious quantities of cash off of copious quantities of individuals in a very short period of time. This is why the instance of scumbaggery has appeared to be so much more great in this day and age. Still might be the same proportion, like 1%, possibly up to upwards of 4% people are doing this kind of behavior, perhaps this kind of trading, that kind of thing, but they do quantitatively more damage these days because they're able to do it on a mass scale. That is the problem here. You have a very small amount of people doing inordinate amounts of damage. And the people, the vast majority, who in general terms are decent, hardworking, caring, loving, and empathetic individuals, have no concept of this. Why? Because they're decent and caring. Because they don't think like a psychopath does. This is how they rise through the ranks, okay, basically. Let's say you've got 10 people who are high performers, high potential, very, very onto it, business people, good acumen, etc., okay? Imagine one of them is a psychopath. What that psychopath will do is he will set up, get fired, or forced to quit those other 9 people so that he is the only one who goes forward. Okay, because he doesn't have no rules. Those other people, those other 9 people, being decent, non-scumbaggery individuals, will see that this work environment, oh man, that guy, I don't like that guy, I'm going to quit. He winds up getting himself out of the game. Instead of exposing this individual, realizing him for the dangerous psychopath he is that will do damage to the company and to the world, they choose to get themselves out of it. And that's partly because of the fact that they're moral people. They don't want to be involved in that system. But the other part of it is, are they willing to risk the retaliation of such a crazed person in order to save others from that kind of suffering? Are they willing to put themselves out there? Because a lot of people, in whatever industry you want to point a stick at, who come out, blow the whistle, show others what is really going on for the others' benefit, not for themselves, they often lose their homes, their families, their careers, sometimes their minds, and sometimes their lives. That is the inherent sickness in our society. Because those who are good are demonized. Those who are psychopathic and evil get promoted. It's because they have figured out the game. That the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. That it is a dark place a lot of the time. And you essentially are a light in the distance, like a lighthouse. Now, that lighthouse could just light up the path so you don't trip up on your way to work. Or that lighthouse could be shining on massive rocks that would sink your entire ship. This is the choice we all have. Do you want to be a beacon of light for others? Or do you just want to be a beacon of light just for yourself and frack everybody else? That is the question. That is the challenge of being human in these times. Everybody says that these times are different, and I can assure you that they are. Haven't had the internet before, as far as I know. I mean, who knows? Maybe way back in the day in some ancient civilization that we haven't uncovered yet, there'll be a Microsoft computer chip unearthed. Who knows? There have been many, I think something like, there's a book called Dead Men's Secrets written by a New Zealand archaeologist called Jonathan Gray, where he chronicles and catalogues upwards of 20 ancient technologies that are either as advanced or more advanced than we have today available to us. So regardless, we're here now. This is the chance that we have. I'm not going to waste a minute of it. I could be dead tomorrow, hit by a New World Order bus. And I want to know that today I did my best. I tried to do something. I didn't bend down. I didn't take it. I did not submit. This is what's interesting. Every time when the government passes a draconian law and they ask for the public's discussion, what does the public do in order to contribute to that discussion? They're called submissions. Now, I don't really like the idea of submission. Why? Because I don't like the idea of being a slave. What do slaves do? They submit. And this is what government does. Submission doesn't mean to have your say. Submission means to follow what the government is saying. Really? Because I've been to some of these things. You know how many of those submissions with incredibly good points that make a heck of a lot of sense actually make it into the legislation that's going to destroy everybody's freedom and absolutely decapitate the country as a whole? None! Fracking none! They don't care! They're lying scumbags! They don't want anybody to be free! They want you all to be slaves, and if you're not slaves, they want you to be exterminated! Get with the programming. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Right back in a minute. Gentlemen, there's nowhere to run from a new world order. You got to fight for your right all day, every day, because Well, basically, it's because your enemy is just as serious about taking away your rights as you should be in defending them. They work tirelessly, day and night. Tyranny never fracking sleeps, ladies and gentlemen. It doesn't mean you can't get any sleep. Okay. It means that you really do have to be conscious that even while your eyes are closed, there are some dark individuals hatching various schemes, plans, and usurpations of your liberties, okay, in the dark of night, in closed-off offices, in various scary, scary places, okay? That's what's going on. Don't be naive about it. Every single bit of legislation that I've seen since the national government has been elected, and of course, all the legislation that's been passed since the last Labor government got elected, I can't see legislation that doesn't rip my rights right out of my hands. I don't see it. You know, I was talking with Nandor Tanchos today, and I've got these drug convictions, right? And he was one of the... he was the parliamentarian who got the clean slate bill passed. Now, let me just explain what that is for you. Basically, if you have a conviction where you haven't gone to jail, you haven't gotten a periodic detention, you will have your convictions wiped off of your record in about 7 years after that happens. Okay? Except, and this is the most interesting part, except if you go to travel, and if that person, or if they ask, do you have any criminal convictions, and then ask the New Zealand government to provide you, to provide them with your previous convictions, even though they've been wiped off your record, they do share them. Isn't that interesting? What does it matter then to have a clean slate scheme if your slate doesn't get wiped clean? Huh? And this is what occurred to me when he told me that. And he wanted to get that clause removed as well. He thought it should be clean slate, clean slate. That's what it says. That's how it should be. But unfortunately, when you're outnumbered in Parliament by psychos, criminal corporate psychos, you often don't get your way. But it what it struck me as... as the tools of globalism, okay? This is why we live in a new world order, and it's pretty obvious. You look at any direction. So basically, global databasing, okay? Anybody who's a criminal, anybody who's a thought criminal, anybody who is a political activist, anybody who is, well, basically, have you seen the terror watch list? It's the who's who of I don't want to be a slave in the United States. That's why there's so many people on there. Like, there's like a million people on the terror watch list, including like 5-year-olds. What are these? It doesn't make any sense, again, if you're a sane person. But if you're a crazed, delusional, control freak with no self-esteem, who is very easily offended and has copious quantities of power to back up and attack and destroy and kill and maim and basically lick up the dead bodies like they were candy snacks in a Starburst commercial, if you are one of those people, it makes absolute sense. Right? They love it. Anybody who's innocent has something to fear, right? The suspicious mind is actually a healthy mind. It's the very innocent mind that is the easily exploitable one. And again, I've got to reiterate this many times. We have to stop being naive, okay? When I say something that offends you or what have you, just imagine that it comes from the nicest possible place, and I'm saying it in the nicest possible way, and I'm really genuinely trying to help. And that will, for the most part, be exactly how I intended to say it, okay? Because that's how I am. You know, I care, right? Sorry. it means that I don't fit in. I've got to accept responsibility. I want to be in leadership roles because I feel as though I should be. I have the ability to, and I can help people, and I always have. I'm really good at resolving conflicts. You get two people who are really bad, hard at each other, even people who are up at me. As long as they're willing to listen, you know, if there's just a communication problem, then I'm really capable of sorting those people out. If they're not willing to listen, if they want to remain belligerent, if they want to remain ignorant, if they want to keep poisoning themselves with their own intellectual toxicity, there's stuff all I can do to help them. But the fact of the matter is, most of the times when people are angry and upset with each other and that kind of stuff, it's not because they're really bad people. It's because there's a breakdown in communication happening here. If people really, truly listened to one another without judgment, accepted other people's points of view without judgment, and tried to come to an understanding without judgment, we'd be in a much better position, much easier relationships would form and blossom. Psychos take advantage of people like that, though. All right, they really do. They know and they figure out early on in the piece what makes you tick, what your desires are, what makes you happy, etc. Those sorts of things that make you much easier to manipulate. Okay, they figure out how to manipulate you, and then they do it. Okay, there's no middle ground with these types of people. You cannot have them in the military. You cannot have them in your corporations. You cannot have them in your politicians. You cannot have them anywhere. They do not give you any benefit. You cannot even make deals with them. Okay? These people are not, they're like terrorists, basically. You cannot negotiate with terrorists because all they do is screw you over again. As soon as they figure out that you have a weakness, they sit back and they have that little smile, you know, that smug. I'm gonna figure out this one, you know, that kind of thing. They're really arrogant, you know, and it's not like these people are just evil demons or whatever. It's a personality disorder. Okay, some people with personality disorders wind up becoming very successful, right? And it's not as if you're a psychopath and ergo you go out and you kill people all the time. No, it just means that you don't care if you do. All right, you know what's right and wrong, but you don't feel right and wrong. You know the difference between knowing something and feeling something. Okay, I can know that somebody's got a gun to my forehead, but who knows? That entire nerve cluster could have disappeared or become inactive, been third degree burned and severed all the nerve endings or something like that, and I wouldn't be able to feel it. That's essentially the difference between a psychopath hurting somebody and a regular person hurting somebody. The psycho will not feel their pain. It will cause it and, in fact, enjoy it. All right? This is the kind of thing that they smile and laugh about. It's almost entertainment, like a sport for them. It's scary, 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 right? And, you know, the scariest thing is, it's like 1 in 100 people, you know, maybe even more. So you go into any movie theater, you got 100, 200 people in there, there's a couple of psychopaths in that room, quite likely, statistically, and you never be able to tell them apart between anybody else because they're very good at hiding themselves. Very good at hiding their behavior. And it's only upon very close, rigorous analysis that you would figure out whether or not somebody's a psycho. People marry psychopaths and then later on find out who they really are. It's because they wear masks that fit very well. Okay? You ever seen those Hollywood makeup artists? They can put somebody in a monkey suit and make you believe that, oh my God, that really is a monkey. They're that good at putting that that decency makeup on, basically, that you cannot tell the difference. This is why they're so dangerous. This is why they're so capable of manipulating people, because they figure out what your heart wants, your desires, your dreams, everything. They figure it out. They know it before you do. That's why they can manipulate you. And that's why you really got to be, basically, you've got to have your brain switched on. in your social interactions. So many people are going around with their brain switched right off. Right off. Like there's nobody home. Like there's nothing worth thinking about, nothing worth being concerned about in their entire lives. Why? That's so stupid. You're going to wind up getting yourself thrown into a dark pit of scumbag. That's every time. The people who do not, under any circumstances, decide to care about other people, decide to care about the future, the present, the past. It's once you stop caring, it's once you stop loving, that you stop living. And as my good friend and former co-host Will Ryan said, as soon as you stop hating, it means you stopped caring. And I hate psychopaths. We'll be right back after the break. Give us a call in, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Give us a ring in to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Back in a minute. Join us in the chat room at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room. That's Vinnie with a Y. This is the most important question. Back in a minute.
Alert the masses.
Back to the show that's all about unity. Unity is what we need. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show coming at you live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I just heard some news over the break that Jack Blood will be returning to AmericanFreedomRadio.com soon. So, yeah, that'll be interesting, won't it? In fact, we're trying to see whether or not he'll come on the show with me, like kind of now, or anybody else. But regardless, we're taking callers, 218-339-8525. If you haven't called in before, I would actually like to hear from you. That's 218-339-8525. Now, I was thinking about the global resistance the other day, and what's really weighing on my mind right is that we've all got our parts to play in this resistance. Okay, we all got the same enemy. It's the New World Order. Now, who are the New World Order? Well, there's a certain upper echelon group of criminal filth that have been wealthy beyond measure for quite some time. 1% of the population controls 40% of the wealth. The top 10% of the population has like 85% of the wealth. The next 40% of the population have about 10% of the wealth, and half of the population has less than 1% between them. Okay, so we're talking about a model of complete and utter inequality, much like the Monopoly model. The Monopoly board game, where everybody winds up being broke-ass mofos, and there's only one person who wins, who owns and dominates everything, because money is power. Okay, and they've used this power to basically usurp everything, and they've used shell corporations to hide who they are and what they do from the general public, who don't read scholarly white papers, who don't go to Bilderberg group meetings, who do not chair the Trilateral Commission, who are not part of the Council of Foreign Relations, who didn't go to Yale University's Skull and Bones Club. All of these things that you can only get into by invite only, the rest of us are not privy to. That's why they're able to keep it secret. That's where their recruiting pools come from, because it's always a layer of secrecy that protects them. Secrecy, as JFK said, is repugnant in a free and open society. And I hold that to be a self-evident truth, because ultimately you don't know who you're talking to. You don't know what their true agenda is. You don't know whether or not they give a frack, basically. That's the real danger, I feel, is that we don't know what is going on, for the most part. We have no clue, and that's because we're not kept in the loop. Now, this is changing now with alternative media. So we're exposing people such as David Rockefeller, globalist kingpin, Bilderberg attendee, CFR, Trilateral Commission, and those three elements and clubs and things of that nature are part of global steering committees. And they have like hundreds of meetings a year, literally. Okay, we got people in the elite of New Zealand who literally attend hundreds of meetings every year with globalist organizations about how to implement plans for the country, right? Allegedly. Okay, and it's a thing. Because you're not sitting in on those hundreds of meetings, you have no idea what their plans are. But, despite that fact, the big plans, okay, the overarching ones, have already been written, already been admitted. Okay, and it's most poignantly put through in a number of books, like Carol Quigley's, I forget what it was called. I'm not sure. Can't remember. War and Peace, Tragedy and Hope. Tragedy and Hope, that's the one. And essentially what it says is it's basically a history of the world. And it shows that the elite have had their hands on the levers of the entirety of the planet in all historical events, basically, for most of recent history. And not only does he not criticize those facts that they're responsible for huge amounts of genocide, he actually applauds them and says that these people are better than normal people, you know, that they shouldn't be secretive anymore, that they should actually come out in the open, go, yes, we're your benevolent rulers that would willingly sacrifice hundreds of millions of you in a nuclear war just so that we can get an extra couple of dollars on our tickets of gas so that our share prices will go up. They're good people. You know, it's crazy, crazy people. And what happens here is that because people don't believe, and it's simply a matter of faith for most, simply don't believe that they could have been lied to their entire life and suddenly, oh, Vinnie Eastwood's revealing the truth about things. You know, he's only 27 years old. What does he know? I'm 50 years old. I know way more than you do. And I can do 1,000 times more than you. And it's just like, well, mate, come on. All right. Just because I'm older than somebody doesn't mean I automatically know everything there is to know and that they don't know anything that I don't know. Okay. I've been taught lessons by people that are younger than I am on more than one occasion. And I have taught lessons to many people who are older than I am on more than one occasion. Okay. Age is no differential. And this is how people keep getting locked away in that fracking paradigm. It's not about age. It's about experience, okay? If you are, say, a glass blower and you blow glass for a living and you have a political opinion but you've never been to a protest, you've never actually interviewed any politicians, you've never engaged in the political process other than once every 3 years or something like that, you cast a vote for somebody who you believe but haven't done any research on represents your views, do you think you're qualified to comment? Okay, and it doesn't matter whether or not you're qualified. It just means that you may not be quite as well qualified as perhaps someone like me who does interview politicians, who does interview activists, who does make all of these videos and everything and has like a number one YouTube channel in New Zealand and does 5 days a week of radio unlike anybody else in this country. Okay, I'm starting to feel that I am actually pretty qualified to have well-founded opinions on things, but I don't think that I have any credibility. Why? Because I don't do the research, okay? I'm not reading government documents, for example. I'm not doing any of that real, what I consider to be work that all these activists that I have on the show actually do. I just listen to them, okay? Like, I don't read the books of the authors that come on this show either. I generally don't read that much at all. And so what I do is I just interview the authors. So basically, I am trying to just give all of these people a platform, and that's about it, I can't really do much else other than give a platform to everybody else who you should be listening to, who you should take as a credible source, who you should allow to give you some advice because they have the experience, they have the background, they have the knowledge, they have the credibility, okay? Not me, okay? I'm just the one who's sitting here laying out stuff for other people to listen to as some kind of a knowledge archive, if you will. I am a very nice guy, but the fact of the matter is, being a nice guy doesn't mean you come first. It just means that you can get along with people who are also nice guys. And I find out a lot of the time when I've got people on my show or whatever, we have a real good time and we develop a friendship in the space of an hour. Okay? That's the kind of person I am. I can make friends with people very, very easily. It's not that difficult for me. A lot of people don't have that skill. Okay, they'll have the same 2, 3, 4 friends for their entire life. My social circles change all the time. There's very few people that actually stay there forever because I grow, I develop, and some people don't, and I leave them behind in favor of finding something else to help me grow and develop other than somebody who I'm talking to all the time about the exact same thing that is no longer relevant to my life. Okay, I prioritize my time with other people. If somebody's telling me something I already know, then I just don't see the point. Okay, that's why I don't like people who repeat themselves all the time. Namely because it's kind of a propagandistic fashion, and it also shows that they don't know what they're talking about. If they knew what they're talking about, they wouldn't say the same thing more than a couple of times because they'd realize that, hey, I've already said that. This person doesn't need to know that. And it happens all the time, okay? Especially with police. Yes. Police in deedy duty. If you have ever seen a police officer talk, my goodness, is there an awful lot of rhetoric? My goodness, is there very, very tiny amounts of information that they have that they're willing to give to you? By goodness, can they not answer questions? By goodness, are they very, very angry with you if you start asking questions at all anyway? And why? Because they're upset that they've suddenly been caught out that actually your 9 months or such and such years of police training and experience doesn't count for nothing because you don't have all the answers. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what the implications of these laws you're enforcing actually are, Mr. Copper. You don't know what that black and white Masonic checker around your hat means. It's a ring of ownership by Freemasonry, boy, okay? The British police officers have them. The Australian police officers have them. The New Zealand police officers have them. Goodness knows how many other police forces around the world have a black and white checker around the tips of their cap. Okay? I mean, have you even been to a Masonic lodge? I have, and I took a picture with my cell phone of the central ritual chamber floor, and there's a giant pentagram in the middle there. Explain that one to me. Okay, if these people aren't Lucifer-worshipping, secretive scumbaggery filth, why would they have giant pentagrams plastered on the floor where they conduct initiation ceremonies? And if you are stupid enough to bathe in denial with all those killer Nile crocodiles, then boy, oh boy, will you learn a lesson or what? And I don't want people to learn the lessons that way, where they actually have to suffer some description of terrible, awful, horrible fracking tyranny in order to wake up. It shouldn't be that rough. But unfortunately, that's a lot of the time, that's what it takes. Something bad has to happen to you, something real bad. Not just losing your keys or something bad. I'm talking about destroying your life. Losing your kids, losing your house, losing your freedom, losing every single friend. It's that loss that makes people active because they know what they can lose to tyranny. It's once you know what you're up against that motivates you. That is my great will, essentially, is that everybody will simply realize what it is that they stand to lose through their inaction so that they don't have to suffer as I did. or as many others have, at the hands of the state, at the hands of unjust laws, at the hands of criminal sociopaths who you have as your employer right now. You shouldn't have to go through that in order to wake up, smell the coffee, and get out of your chair and do something worthwhile. Biggest regret everybody's had, allegedly, the top five, the number one, is I wish I could live the life that I wanted to live and not the life that other people thought I should live. Now, I figured this out a long time ago. I remember when I was in university, and Asian transfer student, I think he was from China, very nerdy guy and what have you. I was just randomly walking through the park, and I just decided to sit down and have a conversation with this guy. Never met him before, don't know nothing about him, or whatever. Just sit down and say, hi. And this guy, you know, starts talking to me about blah, blah, blah. And I asked him what he's studying, and he says maths or whatever. And I go, really? Do you really enjoy maths, do you? And he goes, no, not really. My parents want me to do it. And I say, well, whose life is it? Is it your life or is it your parents? Okay, and he had this look on his face like, wow, yeah. And he told me that I was speaking right to his heart. And so, you know, even within a few minutes or something, you can snap somebody out of it by helping them to realize something that's so simple. It's not somebody else's life, it's your life. Nobody should be able to tell you what to do, force you to do anything, okay? And that doesn't mean that you need to be a rudderless, fate predeterminist Quaker and go out and commit unbridled acts of debauchery as a result of it being your life and your choice of what to do with it, because all your choices have consequences. Okay? Once you realize that you have a choice, the second implication is you have responsibility. If you have a decent demeanor, okay, responsibility is not that hard a thing, because responsibility restrains you from doing bad things. It's that little voice in your head that goes, you know what, maybe I shouldn't be doing that, okay? And the person who listens to that voice and goes, yep, I'm not going to steal that candy bar. Yep, I'm not going to drive away from this gas station with a tank full of gas, okay? Yep, I'm not going to throw a brick through the window of that talk radio show host who I don't like very much, you know? That's the kind of thing that winds up making our societies relatively violence and horror free, basically. That's so important, and yet I don't see too many examples on mainstream media of people like that. Nor do I see them in the movies. Nor do I see them on television shows or anything like that. Because it's all programming, and they call it programming for a reason. Because they're programming you to be irresponsible. They're programming you to want a nanny state. They're programming you to want somebody else to solve all your problems. And just like most of the things you would see on mainstream media, television, movies, and all that kind of stuff, it's all just a big lie, okay? And there's a reason for that. It's because when people are irresponsible, they don't take ownership of their own problems, and they give their trust to others in order to solve those problems for them. If you don't know what you're capable of as a human being, you are at that much a bigger disadvantage. Believe in yourself. You're the only one who will be there to support you your entire life, okay? Once you're dead, you can't support yourself at all. But while you're still alive, you still have a choice. And you had best make the right one. And the right one is very rarely the easy one. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com is Vinnie with a Y. This is the most important question. We'll be right back just after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room. Right there, and also give us a ring in over the break, please. 218-339-8525. Back in a tick. Oh yeah! We're jamming. Jamming a big old finger in the face of scumbags and pointing out their scumbaggery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. Now, when it comes to being a truther, the thing that'll really kind of strike you as odd is just how people can't see all of this. Well, ask yourself this question: how come I couldn't see any of this? And then you do your research. Well, yeah, that's right. They had sophisticated brainwashing mechanisms. Oh, that's right. They had toxins in the food. Oh, that's right. They had poisons deliberately added to the water supply. Oh, that's right. All the artificial sweetness stopped your brain from functioning properly. Oh, that's right. Everything you look at, basically, is designed specifically, and I say this operatively, to stop you from waking up. And what happens when people do wake up, you know, they see some documentaries by some truthers out there, and they go, oh my God, there really is an elite. There really is a New World Order system. There really is a heck of a lot of brainwashing, filthy scumbaggery, Sasquatch mofos out there that are trying to kill me. You know? Oh, no, that's not good. So what happens is you can accept that. And I admit, you know, when I first woke up to the truth, I was crying a little bit of the time because it's such a harsh reality, man. I truly believed in the system. I really did. I was that naive. In fact, to the point where my lawyer, when defending me, in my defense, said I was naive. I was a naive young man, basically. Okay, that was how naive I am, that you could use my naivety as defense in court. I believed wholeheartedly in the system. I thought that cops told the truth. I thought that laws were just. I thought that judges and the courts gave people appropriate punishments for the crimes. I believed that the laws themselves were made in order to punish bad people. When you figure out that all of that is basically the opposite, it's not a good fall. It's sort of like you put the system up on a pedestal, and this is to do with everybody as well. You can put a person up on a pedestal, a system, a relationship, or anything. And as a direct result, that pedestal and that height that those people, that concept, that system is up on for you, when it comes crashing down, and it almost always does, that's why you shouldn't put stuff up on a pedestal. When it comes crashing down, you are the one that is crushed when it hits the ground, because you're the one who put it up there. That's a real danger with having a belief in a system, particularly this system. And it's a global one, make no mistake. Same crap going on here in New Zealand as they do in Australia, as they do in the US, as the UK. I'm acting under the assumption that the English-speaking nations of the world are now waking up pretty substantially. I'm not sure about the non-English-speaking nations of the world because, you know, I don't know what they say. Essentially, it's about allegiance, alliance, that kind of thing. When you go through a collective suffering, as every truther does, and we all go through very similar things, you know, your family didn't listen to you, you start being called crazy, you get called names, and it becomes really difficult, you don't want to go to work anymore, you start abusing yourself, you start holding a pin on your fellow man, calling other people sheeple, and not having any respect for your common man, just saying, oh, they're all idiots. And, you know, just remember, you used to be like them, and if somebody came up to you and said you're an idiot, you're a slave, you're a sheeple, do you think you would have woken up? No, you would have retreated even further back into your own neuroses. That's what a lot of truthers do, and I see it every day. Every day. There's not a day that passes by where I don't see another truther talking down to other people and calling them the sheeple. And even I've been guilty of that before, and I'm starting to become a lot more aware of exactly what that process leads to. It leads to a superiority complex and poor social skills, quite literally. You see these people, they're calling others the sheeple or whatever like that. They've absolutely got no respect for humanity. Okay, it's almost like they don't make the connection that because somebody's a cog in the wheel, that they don't know what machine they're a part of. okay? You know what machine they're a part of, so that's why you're not part of the machine anymore. They don't. You can't blame them for that. You can try and wake them up, but ultimately what you're dealing with is a masses of layers of brainwashing. Not only is brainwashing addictive, effective, but it's also long-lasting and incredibly difficult to deprogram out of people. It really is. Don't think that you can do it all of a sudden, and don't think that being angry with these people is going to benefit you or them. It doesn't. There's no way that it can. People don't respond to that kind of treatment. They respond to becoming informed. They respond by being guided. They respond by having their questions and curiosities tugged upon. All right? Find out what somebody's angle is. Okay? If they're a right winger, for example, what you can do is you can talk to them about business and how the government is stopping business from running normally. Okay? You're actually speaking their language. They understand you. And then that allows them to open up to other areas. Okay? Because the brainwashing is multifaceted, it's kind of like a puppet, except instead of just having about four or five strings or something, it's just your head. And your head has a string on your forehead, your temples, your eyelids, your eyelashes, and your eyebrows, and your lips, and your nose, and your ears, and you are covered literally with all these little strings. Each and every single one of those strings by themselves, very, very weak, not capable of controlling your entire head, but all of them combined, that is control. Complete, total domination of virtually every single factoid or interpretation or whatever you're doing. That's how it works. When you cut one of those strings, cut the third eye string, it starts to weaken that small particular area. And then it weakens the strings around that one that you've cut. And each and every single one of them, if that person does literally get woken up by you, and waking up is an infectious thing, really is, once that person starts to do their own research, once they've become motivated, they will wind up cutting each and every single string around that particular area, and it will grow and go wider and wider and wider until eventually, after enough strings are cut, they are finally free in the mind, but they're still a slave. Okay, I may be free of the mind, I may be hosting this radio show and talking truth and what have you, but I'm still a slave. I've still got debt. I still have to live in rented accommodation. I still have to pay slave internet rates. I have to do everything as a slave. Okay, I have to go out and pay for registration for my car. I have to pay for warrant of fitness. I have to do all of this just to stay alive as a slave is an incredibly expensive prospect. It's not that easy to simply go, ha, I'm not a slave anymore, ha, I'm free. No, you're not. No, you're not. And just because some other people may not be aware that they're slaves doesn't mean you're better than them. Doesn't mean you can talk down to them and say, oh, they're sheeple, they don't understand, they're stupid, blah, 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 blah. You know, I understand that mentality, okay, but I don't have that mentality. Not anymore. I used to be a lot more angry, basically. And I'm not getting all new agey and say, oh, you've got to love people. You've got to love the psychopaths to stab you in the face with a giant poisonous spear. You know, I'm not saying any of that. Okay, what I'm saying is that the sheeple, if you want to call them that, and I don't want to call them that, they're just the people of America, of New Zealand, of the world. They're just people. They didn't create the system. They are victims of it just like you were. They are victims of it still, just like you still are. You need to realize and recognize the commonalities between you. Stop differentiating. Stop playing the elite's game of divide and conquer. Those people who frustrate you, who annoy you, that you talk to, that don't get it, are not worth your time. Don't keep trying to wake up somebody who's not ready yet. Go on to the next person. Take some initiative. Don't beat your head against the brick wall, because the brick wall's going to win faster than your skull will. It's pretty straightforward. Don't be an idiot. Don't waste your time. Okay? If anything, a lot of truth is, don't really even have the right to think that the people are dumber than they are, because they don't spend any of their time actually trying to solve any of the problems that they've figured out exist. They spend all their time criticizing all the other people who haven't figured it out yet. And the reality is, they haven't figured out anything. If they had figured out anything, they would have solved them, or they would be taking steps to solve them. Okay? It's a one-step, two-step, three-step program. First of all, wake up, figure out that something's wrong. Second of all, inform yourself so you can figure out exactly what is wrong and so you know how to defeat it. And third, take some action. Once you know what's going on, the impetus is upon you to step forward to the mark. Okay? Take your place in the front ranks of this war. Do it. And do it now. Because sooner or later, the war's going to come to you. And I can assure you, if anybody's played the game of Risk, you are actually at the advantage if you're attacking rather than defending. Okay? The best offense... the best defense is often a good offense. You know? These people are attacking you all day, every day. Slug them back! Don't allow some bully to crack you over the noggin and let him get away with it. Take his legs out from under him with a sneaky judo kick. Get him down on the ground. Put your knee on his throat and say, "Boy, you ain't going to do that to me again, because I know you now. I recognize you. I know what your motivations are. I know that I cannot negotiate with you. One of us is going to die, and it sure as heck ain't going to be me." You know, that's the kind of mentality that some people in the truth movement have. It's the warrior spirit, essentially, as opposed to the slave spirit, which is, "Oh, he hit me. I hope he doesn't hit me again. I'm going to go ask him very nicely and send him a piece of paper. Please don't hit me again." Oh, you got to fight fire with fire sometimes. It doesn't mean you have to start fights or anything like that. But, you know, again, if you don't understand your enemy, you cannot fight them. Okay, it comes down to that very much. And because the world has, essentially been concocted in such a way as to make sure that the deeper machinations of virtually everything is kept from you from birth, it means you have to play catch-up, okay? Not in the tomato sauce sense of the word. You really do have to think about how, hold on a second. Didn't I just go public schooling for like 15 years of my life? And they taught me nothing? How long does it take you to learn everything you need to know about the earth if you're not being brainwashed into believing stuff that ain't true? How long does it take? There's a small school. It actually doesn't take that long, interestingly enough. If you've got enough knowledge and what have you, you can figure out a lot more by watching many, many documentaries. I must have watched hundreds of them. You watch all these documentaries, and boy, oh boy, does your vision of the world change, because you're changing from a lie-constructed reality to a truth-constructed reality, something that starts to make a heck of a lot more sense, you know? The reason why a lot of things don't make sense is because you don't understand them, okay? Don't burden yourself and say that I'm too stupid to understand. You're not too stupid to understand. You're just not informed enough yet to understand. You've got the capacity to learn. And don't throw that ability away. Don't talk down to yourself. Don't talk down to other people. Don't go backwards. In this life, we can only go forwards. And by George, are we very good at it when we want to be? There's a lot of people in this truth movement from all over the world who have received no support from their communities, their families, and yet still they succeed. Still they charge forward. Still they make new wonderful discoveries. They get threatened. They get called names. They have their internet get cut off. They get their phones tapped, and still they succeed. There is nothing that can stop you. You hear me? That's how powerful you are. There is nothing that can stop you. If you put your foot forward, nobody's going to push it back. A lot of people are afraid that there'll be backlash or something, that they're going to kill me, they're going to surveil my family or anything. They either already are or they're already gonna. Okay? And they just want you to be afraid of that so that you don't put your foot forward. Because that's what they're afraid of, not what you should be afraid of. The psychos are very, very egotistical and ultimately very scared little scumbag boys they are. I know that you're not. I know that I'm not. That's why we can beat them and beat them resoundingly. We are pushing them back every day. Every day we stay alive and try to make a good difference in this world, we win. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Gentlemen, you're shining bright like twinkling diamonds in a sea of black sky. You shine, and you shine forever, regardless, on through history. Now, I have, well, as I always do, a little bit more to say about the project of self-reliance. Basically, we had a comment on the chat room, and I did want to actually address this. It's somebody ought to expose these people, the very specific people who are involved in these New World Order schemes. And the thing is, not only has it already been done, but that mentality of somebody else should do it, that's what I disagree with. Okay, you have to do it. You come up with the idea, do it. Don't ask anybody's permission. Don't doubt yourself. Just go ahead and do it. I can guarantee you, if you decide that you want to do it and don't let anything stand in your way, you'll accomplish it every time. Nobody who sets out to accomplish something that's really difficult, who really does have that focal point in your brain just going like, no, nobody's going to stand in my way. I'm going to do it. Nobody can stand in your way. Right? Okay? That's how powerful you are. You know, I wish that more people would get that, have some confidence, have some faith in yourself. Okay? You're not made of glass. If somebody punches you on the nose, you don't shatter into a million pieces, do you? If somebody insults you, you don't wind up curling into a fetal position, do you? If somebody fires you, you don't suddenly evaporate into dust because it's the only thing that is actually valuable to you, do you? No. You're strong. You can take a lot of damage. You can take a few knocks to the dome. You can take a few bruises to your ego. So why allow the responsibility to fall to others when you can simply take care of it yourself? It makes you feel a lot better about yourself when you're the one actually doing it. I can assure you. You know, but I understand this, of course. You know, maybe you're not ready yet. You haven't advanced to that particular level as I did. Maybe you haven't suffered enough. Maybe. You know, I had to get like a couple of drug convictions and shafted by high level people at three separate businesses before I decided and got hugely well informed about the New World Order through subsequent bazillions of documentaries and YouTube videos before it activated me. I mean, my wake up really took when you look at it, over a year and a half or something like that, from the first knowledge that I had of the New World Order system and really coming into view, to deciding to take action and never being able to turn back. You know, I've come too far now to turn back ever, and I hope that people will support me because I'm trying to do something good. You know, I may not be the best. I may not be the wittiest. I may not be the grandiose vision. I may not be perfect, but at least I'm doing something. But I can't do it alone. I really can't. I need your help. I really do. The listeners to this show are the thing that keeps me going. I get compliments all the time. Vinny, keep up the good work. And the fact of the matter is, I will keep up the good work, but I need support, mostly financial. And it really sucks. I hate being a slave. I hate having to pay for everything. But the fact of the matter is, I do. And I can't do the right thing, you know, like hosting the radio show, getting guests on and helping to promote the exposure of scumbaggery without the support of the listeners, because it's basically like this. When you're a truther, you're up against the corporate media, okay, whatever. Where do the corporate media get their funding from? They get it from the elite scumbags who you're fighting against, okay, and they get lots, right? They got like $7 million studios. And guess how many people actually watch them and pay attention to them? A lot fewer than you'd think. Okay, there was a statistic released, a polling on Fox News, CNN, NBC. Okay, these mainstream news channels, prime time. Okay, 6 p.m. in the United States. They had lower viewing and lower ratings than Chuck Norris's Total Gym. People don't care about mainstream media anymore, and yet they still keep getting funded these hundreds of millions, tens of millions of dollars all the time. Now, I've got a YouTube channel called Mr. News Guerrilla Media, okay? And you have a look at it, and you have a look at all the other mainstream media branches in this country, you know, whether that be TV3 News, TVNZ News, or the New Zealand Herald, or 91ZM, or News Talk ZB, all of these other mainstream people who have millions of dollars of funding are doing pitifully by comparison to me, and I'm you know, barely getting 100, 120, 140, 150. I don't even have enough to survive off, and I'm doing better than they are. Okay, this is how little people give a crap about those people and how much they are now thirsting for the truth. They really, really want it. They need it. They desire it. So I'm just trying to facilitate it. Okay, all the activists in this country, man, they work so hard. It astounds me. It astounds me the amount of knowledge that very few individuals, comparatively to the entirety of the population of the country, possess such great knowledge on specific topics. And even fewer still, getting down to the point where it's virtually none of them, are able to get on mainstream media to any great extent in any way, shape, or form, whether that be the radio, the television, or the newspapers. And even if they do get on there, it's soundbited. There's only small snippets that you can get into. You can't get any of the information you need out of those people. That's why I invite these people on the show for like an hour, 2 hours, or do an off-air interview with, say, Troy McLaughlin from the Saturn Death Cult for nearly 2 hours. You know, that kind of stuff is absolutely important. These people can't make their own videos. They can't make their own radio show. I can't do the research. So what I do is I get them on here, give them some of the coverage that they deserve, give you, the listener, the knowledge that they have. Nobody will inform you better than the person who's in the thick of it, than the person who has shed blood, sweat, and tears in the name of defending liberty and freedom. Those people are passionate. They believe in what they're doing. They care about their country. They care about you, even though they may have never met you. They still love you. You know what I'm saying? I love you. And that's why I'm trying to save you. That's why I'm trying to give you more content so you can wrap your brain around a lot of these really complex discussions that we have on this show. And so please donate. Please subscribe for $5 a month. Specifically, I really need people to subscribe for $5 a month. It's a very, very small amount of money relative to the amount of content that you get out of it. And it gives me a base of income to work from, so that I don't have to worry, so that I can continue to work and make more stuff. Okay, like, for example, the last round of donations I've gotten, I have started up two new projects. Okay, first of all, I interview somebody usually every morning before the show for an hour or more, who I may have had on the show before, may have not, and then upload it to YouTube as a split screen, you know, YouTube interview for free. Okay, anybody can get that. And in addition to that, I've also started up Mr. News Counterspin, so that every morning when the mainstream media send out their headlines for other people to be brainwashed with, I give those headlines to a big group of activists who I've gotten together on Skype and said, all right, guys, put your hands up. Who can comment on this? Who can comment on that? They've already done the research. They don't need to put a terribly large amount of effort into it. Okay? Then I just record it and get it up online, again, for free, before the 6 p.m. news even hits, so that if you want to come home and you want to watch the news, you can watch the truth instead of the lies. I give you that choice. It's not me being some great cat who knows everything. I'm simply doing the work because I feel obligated, okay? If you donate to this show, I feel as though I am your employee, like I am obligated to you, the listener, for supporting me. And to thank you for supporting me, I work just that much harder because I feel as though I need to earn it. If somebody gives me something, it's not because they want something back. It's because they believe in me. It's because they believe in what I'm doing. And when people believe in me, I really, really appreciate it because I do need that kind of support. I mean, maybe I'm emotional fragile or something like that, but ultimately, it's about doing your part, okay? If you want to, if somebody asked me today in the chat room, Vinny, you say you're New Zealand's best alternative media. Have you got anything to prove that? And I go, well, no, I don't. Can you point a stick at anybody else in New Zealand who has a five-day-a-week radio show, has a number one YouTube channel, and has all the biggest guests on the American Patriot YouTube conspiracy theory circuit? No, nobody else does. It's pretty straightforward. So if you want to support me, I'm not huge by any means, but I'm the biggest that New Zealand has at this particular moment, and it's because all of these activists and all of the listeners who actually enjoy and absorb the content come out to support me. That is the only way I can do it. That is the only way I can grow is with you behind me, and I'm so appreciative, you know. I really am. And I think everybody deserves a chance to have their stories heard. Everybody has the opportunity to become everything that they want to be. And that's why I bring them all on the show. You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your donations. And thank you very much for sharing out those links with your friends and family. It may not wake people up, but it keeps those who are awake sane. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.